This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm Toni Quest, and I'm so glad that you're here. I love doing this show, and today we're on location at the Paradise Restaurant in Verplank, New York. I'm very excited when we go on location. I'm interviewing a really wonderful gentleman today. He actually has a TV show also. His name is Victor Margiotta. His show is called The Community Show, and his show is about just that. Welcome, Victor.
Thank you, Toni.
Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you're just like a local celebrity with your show. People know you.
Yeah, I guess I am. But, you know, it's also the fact that, you know, I come from a big family and been working at the restaurant here forever. You know, and I am sort of a social butterfly. I do love people. I love to talk to people. I love to, you know, I love kids. I love family. I love the whole aspect of taking care of kids and being responsible, you know.
Yeah, being responsible. Now, being one of 10, I have to ask you, what was that like? And you were where in the mix?
Well, I was number 8 out of 10. There was 9 boys and 1 girl. And I was the first born in the new house. We actually started in the house behind the restaurant. And my brother John, who was a year older, was not born in the house. We were all born at in Peekskill. The old hospital used to be up on Water Street. And then the new hospital, I was actually the first to be born in the new hospital.
You were the first? Come
yeah.
on.
Well, really? Not the first in Peekskill, but the first for our family.
Wow, you know, okay. So. Okay.
Yeah, but it was funny because every time my mother went in, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, oh my gosh, you're here again, you know?
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Did she have her own suite?
Right, and they wound up putting a plaque on one of the beds. No, but, you know, they were always surprised to see her keep coming back. But they were both from a family of 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. So in the back of their mind, they wanted to have a big family. And the one thing that they said was they always loved having a baby in the house. It brought them great joy. And they said that none of the babies were ever a problem. They said if one of them kept them up all night, they probably would have stopped.
Okay, but you were all just little cherub angels.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think when we got older, we caused them a little more problem.
I can imagine, yes.
You know, I don't think it ever ends when... you always love babies and toddlers, but, you know, the challenges of different ages in the family, you know, when they become a little older. My mother says, oh, you found out you had a mouth, you know? Now, you know, or she would say something like, you know, when you stood up for your brother for lying or whatever, oh, what are you, his lawyer, you know?
You know, she had a good sense of humor.
Oh, well, that was...
Yeah.
It's true.
You know. I guess she had to.
You had to.
To get through the day.
Yeah. I mean, they were sarcastic, you know, mm-hmm. but I think that was part of the times, you know, sarcasm. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are as open to sarcasm as much as they used to be, yeah. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, times have changed. I think people are a little more sensitive now, yeah. which is tough, whereas people used to be able to take a joke, you mm-hmm. know? And I always say when people could dish it out, but they can't take it.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to be able to dish it out, you better be able to take it.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't always work both ways.
No, it's true. Yeah. And you have to realize that. So
you were number 8, so most of your siblings were older than you.
Yeah.
What was that like? You were the baby for how long?
Just a year, and then my brother Joe came.
Wow.
And
then,
yeah, right. And then Charlie was the youngest, so he wound up being the baby.
Okay.
But he was the youngest, and then he became the tallest.
Oh, so. Really? That's interesting. Yeah.
And he got married. He's got 5 kids. Mm-hmm. They had Mary Grace was, you know, already planned. Mm-hmm. So they had to have 4 boys before they had Mary Grace.
Yeah.
And then finally... And she's wonderful. She's, I think, 9 now,
mm-hmm.
and she's going into, like, third or fourth grade, but she's wonderful. She reminds me of my father. She can talk with her face. She doesn't have to say a word. She could just express what she's saying just by
her expression.
But just with her face, you know, and that's how my father was. All he had to do was look at you.
And you knew.
You knew. You knew what he was thinking, so.
Yeah, I think everybody's family was different. I don't know if I had that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if anybody looked at me like that. Maybe my mother. My mother, I can remember kind of looking up like that. And she had an expression.
Right. But it was kind of like two different families. The older ones kind of kept to themselves and were doing their thing. Mm. And then the, you know, us younger ones were, you know, more or less together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my parents were very strict, though. I don't remember leaving the yard, you know, until
really?
I was, much older. But, you know, they were very much on top of us. But we did go to the Montrose Marina down here, Cortland Yacht Club. They had a pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually had a diving board with a big tank pool and then the lower pool. And we grew up with a few other families that we were very close with. And it was like another little group of family. And it was beautiful. We just lost Peggy Hughes, who was a very dear friend of ours.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. And we're very close with the kids. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh,
Mary
wow, okay.
Clay. Yeah, and I always wondered if they named them after the group. But,
I think it might have just been, gonna have to ask.
And then the youngest was Aileen. She's funny. I love Aileen. And I was telling her how I joined the golf league and I might be the number one guy this year. And she says, wow, your dreams have really come true for you, huh? And I was talking about sarcasm.
I know, right?
But, you know, I laughed it off. I kind of was a little, you know.
Yeah, you gotta have a good time.
Yeah,
you just do. It sounds like you had a fun growing, you know, childhood growing up.
Oh, it was awesome. And, you know, it was funny because we had built-in friends. You know, I had my brother Joe, who I grew up with. It was funny, my mother kind of dressed us up the same, so we were like twins, you know.
Okay.
Everybody asked, are you guys twins, you know? And then when we got older, he became older, so it was kind of strange.
Yeah. But you aged at different rates?
Yeah, a little bit.
It happens.
Yeah.
It does.
You know, I think he was, like my mother, kind of a worrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes a toll on you when you worry, you know, the stress. I didn't have a care in the world, and I kind of try to stay that way.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You didn't have 10 kids, you know?
No. I mean, you have to have a little worry. You got to be able to pay your bills. You got to be able to, you
know. Be responsible.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to call it worry or fear or responsibility, but you got to, you know, you have to have that little bit of, well, if I don't do this, there's going to be consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's important.
Yeah. So what made you decide to become a talk show host?
Oh, well, I love Merv Griffin. I just love the fact that he just sat there and all these wonderful people came on the show.
Yeah.
And all he had to do was, like we're doing, just keep the conversation going, you know? I remember when he brought Arnold Schwarzenegger on and he's like, come on, dude, take off the shirt. Let's go, you know? So he had to take off his jacket and his shirt and, you know, he was...
Flexing up.
But I mean, that's what he's famous for, you know?
I always imagine what it was really like on those sets.
Oh, yeah, right?
You know?
Oh,
I'll tell you, when I left where I'm staying right now, there was a whole, like, video crew coming in. Like, something's gone on down the road, you know? There might be a party to crash after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, wow, I'm going here, and they're going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing this right now,
yeah.
You know, interviewing people. I think it's our interest in others. I hope that's the reason.
But, you know, we grew up in a generation where TV was, there was a lot of good stuff on. You know, I loved the Mod Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that show?
I do remember that show.
It was the best. That was my favorite. And then... By the time I was, you know, I was born in 65 and then the early 70s, you know, a lot of the shows were already rerun. The Partridge Family was a rerun, but we watched the Brady Bunch. That was, you know, that was new.
Yeah.
So we were watching that as it was being made, which was a great show. It was about a family and it was about people that came together that had their own families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's a big thing now with divorced and people remarrying. And
I think it was somewhat prophetic because it seems that now there are so many blended families.
Mm.
I think that's the term.
Yeah. Because
people get married at different stages in their life, and then they bring their family in, and they bring the family together.
Yeah, right.
And
you know, and then the holidays are tough because you got to go to this family, and then you got to go to that family.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but I mean, even that with regular families, you know, my parents, you know, we just had a holiday and we didn't all get together. But if my parents were here, and I was thinking that all day, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, if my parents were here, we would have had to be either at the restaurant or at the house, yeah. you know. And sometimes when you lose that, it's kind of tough because then you don't have that obligation to be somewhere, you know.
Right. And I think it's something that most people look forward to. Mm. You know, I wonder maybe if you're in a blended family, you have nowhere to go, maybe you could come here. Everybody,
yeah.
come here
yeah.
to the Paradise Restaurant.
Right.
This is a very warm place. I had dinner here a couple of weeks ago, as you know, and I have to say it was such a wonderful surprise, because usually you go into a restaurant you haven't been to before, everybody knows everybody and they're like doing their thing, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden you're sitting down and I had a friend show up and all of a sudden we're talking to everybody, everybody's talking to everybody from everybody's table, you're bringing food out and giving it to the kid.
Yeah.
You know, I met this great like 2-year-old.
Yeah, I know, she was unbelievable.
2 years old,
yeah.
She's right. I mean, I told them, I said, she, you know, she's really gonna
gifted.
Go to, she's gifted. She looked like she was ready to go to Harvard, the way she sounded. You know, I felt immature next to this child. I was shocked, you know?
Yeah.
I was shocked. Everybody was very, very welcoming here, I have to say. And I'll add that the food is excellent, quite authentic. I recommend it highly, you know? And so let me just talk to you more about your show and your and some of your interviews. I saw an interview you did with a woman, her name is Lisa Edwards, and she does things to empower women. It sounds like, from what I could discern from the interview, she was discussing a program that she has that helps people that are from battered households. And then instead of just like selling real estate, she does something that's a lot better, a lot more community-like. Talk to me about a little bit why you chose to interview her.
That's the whole idea of the community show, you know, getting involved. You know, I work 5 days a week now. We usually work 6, but after the pandemic, we've cut down. And now that it's hard to get people to work, mm-hmm. hopefully that changes soon. But, you know, I volunteer my time to do this show, to talk about getting involved, to helping
yeah.
out, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of somebody that just doesn't talk about, oh, they should do something about this. She's actually doing something, you know. She set up a house for women that have been abused, that mm-hmm. need somewhere to stay, you know, and need the time to kind of get their life back together, you know.
Yeah.
You know, from her own personal experience, you know,
yeah.
this is something that happened to her mm-hmm. also. And she's able to survive it and move on. But she sees the need out there to help people. You
yeah.
know, there's, you know, it's funny. There's so many things that are going on out there that it's not in clear view. You know,
that's
I mean,
true.
Number one is this heroin epidemic. That's
yeah.
just horrible. I mean,
yeah, what are we going to do about that?
Yeah, why don't we shut the country down and do something about that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. The amount of people, and it's all young people that are dying. You know, you don't want to go on a sad note, but these
yeah.
are things that have to be talked about.
It's know? True, and I can say, and I bet dollars to donuts, I'll say it like that, that everybody knows someone.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I know
you
at
know?
Least 30 people.
Yeah.
I know this just this one group of people that all passed away.
Yeah, from overdoses.
Yeah. And then the parents, the poor parents, blaming themselves and the you know, the guilt and the shame that they're going through. It's
yeah.
just. And thank God there are places that they can go. And I actually just read a story about a couple of parents that get together and console each other
mm-hmm.
and help each other. And yet, you know, you wind up having to need that. You
yeah.
know what I
yeah.
mean? Because of the shame and the guilt that they feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's the core of the community. How do we help people? You can't let them be alienated and then suffer. That could lead to a drinking problem or you know, any other thing.
It could lead to a lot of things
lot
if
of
you
things.
Just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say that when you find out that somebody that you know is in that particular situation or died from that, it's a shock.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, you can't help but think, what could I have done? What could I have done?
I know. That's true. You know, could I have been there for them?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know that it's anyone's fault or anyone's responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I was impressed with the fact that Lisa, you know, she was talking about going from being in an abusive situation to an empowered situation.
Yes.
And it was just a beautiful interview that you conducted for her, and she was very open to you. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of people, I hope they see that interview. I found it really inspiring.
Yeah. And you could just YouTube it, Community Show, Victor Margiotta, and then Lisa Edwards.
Lisa Edwards.
Yeah, and it will come up.
It was a great interview, and I think she's a great person. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that you've interviewed some other women that are doing things. That's impressive.
I can remember, I think I was in second grade, and we got our test back, and I got like a 78, I think, and the girl next to me got a 100.
What?
And I said, woo. And, you know, I have respect for women. I mean, I love my mother. My mother was incredible. I mean, to raise 10 kids and to work as hard as she did. And she put us ahead of herself. She made sure we ate before she ate. She made sure that, you know, we were taken care of before she took care of herself. And, you know, that was incredible, you know, to me. And it showed a lot of what a parent should be. You know?
Yeah, could be, should
and
be.
Could be, yeah.
You know, I admire it. I'm not a parent, but I do remember being a child. I do remember that. I do remember it. And I know that it's not always so easy.
No. And, you know, I think it's a shame that a lot of people don't realize. Maybe because they were spoiled. And they wind up having kids, and then they find out how hard it is, and they don't realize. Yeah. You could be up for days with the baby crying, you know, with colic or whatever, just things that kids have, problems with the food they're eating or whatever. And, you know, and sleep deprivation can really do a number on you.
Yes, it can do a number on you, right? What do they say? There can be no healing without sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
A comedian, he was talking about it. He had... His kid kept him up for, he goes, I don't know why I ever did drugs. All you got to do is just stay awake for a couple of days.
And you feel like,
It's like being on drugs, he said. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But parenting and marriage is the hardest thing in the world. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And once you make that commitment, I think, you know, I know a lot of priests, they're excellent priests, who counsel people before they get married and say, this is the hardest thing you're ever going to do.
You got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and that's why they say true love. True love makes the difference. You don't get married just to get married. You know what I mean?
You have to have a real clear reason, I feel.
I think so.
Yeah. I think that when you marry somebody, you should make it a vow that you're going to help each other get to heaven.
Well, that's what it is. And it's a vow. It's, you know, and that's why it's one of the sacraments. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the ultimate.
It's not taken as seriously as it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm holier than thou.
No, of course not.
I actually like marriage. I did it twice. You know, I did. No, the one I lived all the way out, okay? But I'm just saying that, you know, there's a celebrity. I won't even mention her. I'll mention her name later. That I always had like, she's like my best friend in my head, you know, when I think of her. And I remember her saying when she was in a marriage, she's a very celebrity. There was a little bit of public... exposure to her marriage and something that went wrong, and she got it together with her husband again. I remember her saying that the most important thing about being married is that you should help each other get to heaven. And I thought
that's
my first
beautiful.
Marriage. I said, that's what went wrong.
Yeah.
I thought he should go to hell. Yeah. I couldn't think I wanted to go there, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I didn't really think that, but I'm just saying.
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
That's right. And I don't want to be judged because I know I'm not an angel.
Not perfect.
I'm not perfect.
You know, and since we're on the subject, I just interviewed Beth Venn. She's helping Kiko Makiko down at the art studio.
Yeah.
And it was funny because it was at St. Patrick's School where I went for 8 years and, you know, got my religious education. And nuns and priests and, you know, the one thing I realized when I was a kid was that they're still just people, you know what I mean? And I've met some really holy priests that I loved and that were really... got their calling and were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then I met some priests that were, you know, not really inspiring, I would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, that they were doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't put them in a position of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in a position of a person that's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know what
I
mean? And that God is almighty. Not, you know, not people.
Right.
You know, and if they're doing their job, then they're showing you that God is the one you're praying to, mm-hmm. not the priest or the nuns. Or...
They are the representatives of, you know, and I always say that in the Catholic Church, and I was raised in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. that's where I learned right from wrong.
Yeah.
You know, when I wasn't home, I was learning it there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really deny it.
No.
I think that, you know, you do some great things, you know, like I think it's really good in seeing an interview you did about the museum that's opening at St. Peter's Church. Mm-hmm. Is it still the church?
It's St. Patrick's.
St. Patrick's.
And the church is still here, but they sold the mm-hmm. school. You know, a lot of schools closed down because of funding and, you know, for whatever reason, because people can't afford mm-hmm. to go to these schools. You know, it happens, you know, and people, even the amount of people that even just go to church has gone way down, you know, and I think... I interviewed a few priests to try and get people to, you know, start thinking about going back to church.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's uplifting. It's a way to keep in touch with God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always still feel like I'm with him always, you know.
Right.
And they say, you know, your life is a prayer. How you act is constant. And, you know, you're constantly, mm-hmm. you know, interacting with God. I mean, he sees what you're doing all the time.
That's true.
So, you know, your life is a prayer, that how you conduct yourself.
It's true. Life is a prayer. I like that. I'm going to borrow that. It's your mantra. I have that mantra for a couple. I like it.
Yeah.
Your interview, though, you did it on location in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
That was an excellent interview.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I think it's really outstanding that you're actually doing an interview with someone that's bringing the arts to Verplank. Now, people don't think of Verplank in terms of art.
No.
And you talked about that in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your view on that? Do you think that Verplank can be an art community
or
destination?
Just a little off the beaten path,
mm-hmm.
which I think is going to be kind of tough for them because you kind of got to drive here. It's not like you're just driving on 9A and here we mm-hmm. are. You mm-hmm. kind of got to go off, which is the same as the restaurant, but we've been able to survive 74 years.
Yeah, here. Wow, it's a long time.
Yeah, and... I think, you know, helping with promotion, and now that you have the internet and then, you know, you can, mm-hmm. you know, expose yourself a little more to the public.
Yes.
And I think this area needs it. Now, they talked about turning it into apartments. A developer was going to buy it and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a much better idea because it's also going to be an educational venue, too, where they're going to try and hold classes and... you know, educate, because the original guy was a teacher. He taught for many years.
And his name was Kinoseto?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a shame that he passed in mm-hmm. 2016, but thank God his wife was able to keep it going.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I always appreciate art, no matter where it is. And I really thank you for doing that as an artist. I really thank you for bringing art just a little bit, making it a little bit broader, because most people would not think of coming to Verplank, New York to see art. Even though you're right next door to Peekskill, mm-hmm. This is such a little private hamlet down here. You know, do you envision, you know, more art happening here?
I would love for that to happen. I mean, they even talked about, you know, it would be a great idea to bring the students down to the river, paint river scapes.
Yes, and, plein air painting.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, that's beautiful. I actually still have my old portfolio from 9th or 10th grade that I took an art class.
Okay.
And I wish I kept it up more, but, you know, it's... You can't beat sitting and just drawing, and you know, I always enjoy drawing and painting mm-hmm. and even coloring to this day, whipping out a box of crayons and just coloring. I still, to my nieces and nephews, I'll still make the card, happy birthday.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, and they love it, and they, you know, a lot of them save them, you know, because they know that I did it, at, you know, from my heart. So.
Yeah, usually it's the other way around where your mother will save your thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was shocked when I opened my grandmother's things after she passed. The things that she saved.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the family meant so much to her that every little creative thing they cherished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as your, I guess your nieces and nephews love it that you give them the cards. They, you know, kids can cherish it too.
Yeah. We were talking about on our show a couple of weeks ago how, you know, I'm kind of a hoarder where I still have cards and letters and stuff that people gave me. And mm-hmm. it's hard to throw them away, you know? And as long as I have the room, I'm not going to throw them away.
You're sentimental.
Until I have to throw them away. Mm-hmm. And even pictures, I still, when we sold my parents' house, I still have like 4 boxes of pictures that I just, there's no way I'm going to throw them away. You know?
Don't do it.
No,
Keep it.
Mean the world to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think also having prints like that is rare now.
Yeah, right.
You know,
everything's digital.
Everything's digital, and I think about all the slides I have from pictures I took decades ago with an SLR Pentax.
Mm.
You know, what am I going to do?
I'll
have to ask Jim what to do about that. our director will know.
Yeah, speaking of Jim, I just want to thank him so much.
Yeah,
I want to
thank him too.
He's awesome. And
thank
Joe.
Thank you, Jim and Joe. Yes, I promise I won't knock on the mic again. I won't do it. You know, yeah, I always say that you have to recognize the people that have you where you are.
Yeah.
I like that you talked about Merv Griffin. Were you one of the kind of kids that used to sit up and watch the talk shows late at night?
Yeah, I did for a while. When they started getting a little, you know, political or whatever. That's the beauty of this country, though. We are allowed to make fun of the president. Mm-hmm. You know, we are allowed to satirize and to, you know, make fun of. The best is always when they're coming off the plane and they fall down the stairs.
Oh, what was that? Was Gerald Ford?
Yeah, he fell everywhere.
He fell all the time. And they did reels of him that's falling off falling off another plane.
Yeah, now if it was the other country, they put you against the wall. You know.
Yeah, right.
But,
you talk about the president, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's the beauty of this society, and I hope we are able to keep it, you know. But we can only do that if people get involved. You know, fight for our rights, for free speech and religion. Mm-hmm. And that's what this country is based on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we don't fight for it, we're going to lose it. So I think that's another thing that's so important.
Yeah, it is important, you know. And I think the fact that you're doing something that is about this community, people outside of this community will see it. My feeling is that there's a global community, but if you have to always recognize your local community and its place in the global community.
Yeah.
And it's the global community's place in your local community. And peace starts at home.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Mother Teresa said, just help your own family, you know? Just
all you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go to Calcutta or go to, you know, to wherever. I mean, start right at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about saving the world and you're fighting with your neighbor. I mean, come on, you know, that's...
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. I know people that left an entire community because they didn't get along with one set of neighbors.
Mm, yeah.
Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know what they went.
I know.
But I would never let anybody be so horrible to make me actually leave my own community.
Well, that was one of the gifts of being raised in a big family. You know, we always sat down to dinner together. And even if I just had a big fight with my brother, mm-hmm. I had to sit right next to him and eat dinner, and all I could think about was jumping over and, you know, getting into it with him. But... My parents taught us how to have self-control, mm-hmm. you know, which is huge. Self-control, you know, I play golf, and one of the things about golf is, you know, you say, well, I should have kept my head down, or I shouldn't have tried to kill the ball. Mm-hmm. Well, don't should have, do it. Keep your head down. Mm-hmm. Don't try to kill the ball. Do the things that you talk about. Don't talk about them. You know, and self-control is a big thing, you know, and...
And it comes in many packages.
It does, you know.
You know?
And I talk about freedom of speech, but sometimes not saying something is more profound than saying something, and then maybe saying it later.
Well, all I can say is that silence can be deafening at times. I've been there, and I think it's a really good idea to actually speak one's mind to an extent. But most importantly, I think that you're fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks.
I love your show.
Appreciate it.
I love your swagger. I think it's really cool. And we need more people like you. We need more shows like your show.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because I think it's really important. I think communication is the key to peace. And you communicate very well on your show.
Oh, well, thanks.
So, but I'm getting the wrap-up single. So I'm going to say goodnight to the audience. Thanks for coming. I'll be back. And I really appreciate that you come and watch the show. And thank you for always emailing me your feedback. Feel free to reach out to me by email. I just love hearing from you. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.